funny. Yes, it is a podcast that people can download for free.
Shut up.
Stop being nervous. You've already crushed this once before. Crazy person.
I can't remember. Do I have to use proper...
No.
I can... Wait. Can I say bad words?
Yeah. Why are you talking so quietly? Am I talking quietly? I feel like I am.
No.
No? You can hear me okay?
Do I have to talk? How close do I have to talk?
Not as close as you said a minute ago. Gargle. Go from there. Sunday evening. Finally, round two with one of my favorite people ever, Annie Zancanella. And apparently, like, she's smiling at me and all weird and nervous. We just had a, I guess you could call it a date. Interesting dinner.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a date. I mean, when you go with someone of the opposite sex to a restaurant and you sit and you eat and have a glass of wine, that's usually considered a date.
Okay.
Or dinner with a friend. I don't know.
It was a lot of catching up for sure. I'd have to look back to see when it was, but I want to say it was like October or November of 2012 last time you were here.
Yep.
But you're busy and you're, you know, you're still sick. I mean, for that to sound so awful.
You're still sick.
The quick reference for the people that haven't heard this show is, or heard her first podcast, Annie's been dealing with some cervical cancer issues and has been going through experimental treatment, like X-Men Magneto machine shit. And it's been a yo-yo roller coaster.
Clinical trials.
Right. But, like, result-wise, it's been ridiculous. Like, some ups, lots of downs. Right now, you're in the middle of, like, a 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird. I think it's good. 50 is good. At least there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But...
No, like, half of me is like, yay! And the other half of me is boo.
Sure. We're basically going to do status for people that have asked. We got some dating stories again. We have some internet movies to maybe discuss. We'll see about that. Some videos you can find on the internet of
so
half-naked, big-breasted women.
You took something so pure and tranquil and turned it.
I really did. That's kind of what I do. Terrible person. Pretty much when you were here last, there was a lot of like treatment options going on, but you went to a different clinic. Like, where do you want to start with that part? Like,
well, the last time I was in, I had just gotten home from my trip to New York, and I'd spent a month in New York being poked and prodded on a stage in front of medical students at NYU.
That's hot.
And then everyone got to see my hoo ha ha. And I mean everyone.
Like, everyone. I saw it. I was at work and I got a text. It was like an Amber Alert. No. Did you see this?
Thanksgiving turkey is what you called me the last time I was in.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I did. No, I was asking if it will. I didn't call you it. I was like, is it like in my head where? Oh, let me address that, because that's one thing. Apparently, I came off, and I told you this, you know, shortly after this happened. I came off, like, apparently super, like, women degrading and misogynistic in our first show.
Oh, I didn't take it that way at all.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, like okay.
But we're friends.
Full disclosure.
It's like, different when you're friends. And
here's the thing, though. That day was literally the first time we'd ever met.
No. But
what do you mean?
Like... Our dads worked together.
Oh, we went whatever. To the first school. Time we spent time together.
Okay.
Let's say that. And it was a long day, but it was great. And I like what I appreciated about you about this whole situation is the fact that you do laugh about it. And there are, you know, coping mechanisms that allow me to have this discussion with you besides us being friends. Right.
Right.
I at no point was trying to make you feel bad about it or you know, make you feel like a turkey. Or what was the other thing that, you know, the cancer dicks and all
that's funny. See, but I have a good attitude.
I had people like that was
it.
My first hater on the show. Like, I sent it to somebody that I'm like, hey, I want you on my show. Here's one that I'm proud of and was funny.
You did make a joke about who was the cancer dick. but to me, that's not
against you.
No, I find it funny because. During all of this, I mean, I was diagnosed September of 2009, and all these years, the way I've proceeded through everything was with humor. And that's, yeah. I didn't find it offensive. I thought it was hysterical. We made jokes all the time in the clinic.
Well, yeah, and I just want people, in case they, I don't think anybody from that time would care now, but I'm just saying it.
And I'm like so straightforward that if I thought that if you had said something asshole-ish, I would have told you right up there.
But I love you, and I have there's no, you know, if I say something stupid, it's just because I'm trying to be funny and whatever, so there you go.
I'd call you out on your bullshit.
Sure. So, okay. I know I interrupted. You started talking. Now I forgot where I interrupted you at.
Well, so I had the whole New York adventure, and I came home, and I changed clinics to one closer by, so I wouldn't have to travel all the way to Denver, to University Hospital. I changed closer, and they had treated me for a few months, and I was noticing that I had just some really horrible reactions. And I was in bed for like a whole month almost, just ill. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a new trial that they're trying out on me. And I contacted my doctor, and he said, well, that shouldn't be that bad. So he had them forward all of my information because he's out of Chicago. And he started looking through things, and he realized that they had given me the wrong treatment schedule. The way they do it, since it's all, it's not one dose of a medicine, they are creating this from scratch.
Right.
So it's 8 shots that they line up, and they usually line up the strongest, which is the smallest amount of cc's, and up to the weakest that has more cc's. So it goes on the line. Well, they had given it to me the complete opposite. So they given me the weakest with the tiniest amount of cc's, and at the end, they gave me the strongest amount of chemicals at the highest dosage, which, since I had had these in my system for years, it didn't affect me to the point of injury the way it would someone who just walked into it and gotten it. He said it could have been fatal if I hadn't been exposed to them in the past, because it was such a dangerous amount. So because of that, I lost my hair.
And I feel like you said that kind of quietly. Like, I want to reiterate that. Like, they administered the stuff wrong.
Yes.
And had you not been treated with, you know, similar things...
For years,
you'd have been dead.
Right. I would have been...
And you were like, my stomach hurts. Instant
dead, yeah. I was like, I don't feel good. I'm throwing up a lot, and I haven't been able to leave bed in a month.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we get that, like, how severe
it was. It wasn't just one treatment they missed. Misadministered towards me. It was 2 months worth of treatments. So as a result, the RN and the assistant were fired from the hospital that I had transferred to. And so that there was no ill will towards me, I left that hospital and went back to university.
What do you mean ill will towards you? I know you explained this to me once, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's... You know, there shouldn't be anything, but it's hard when people lose friends that work at a hospital because of someone's case. My doctor was concerned that some people might be a little less inclined to show me compassionate bedside manner if their friends are no longer working because of a screw-up. And so I left there and went back to Denver, me and my little bald head, and kept plugging along.
That was a weird one for the friends, because we pop on Facebook, and I mean, you didn't just let this happen. Like, what'd you guys do?
Oh my goodness, no. I had been losing my hair, and I could see it every day when I'd shower. Large portions of my hair would come out in the shower, and it was more traumatizing to me to see it leaving me slowly, right. And looking in the mirror and just seeing all these patches that I was trying to cover up. And I went over to my friend's house one night, and I was just feeling really blue about it. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I feel like maybe it would be best if I just had it all gone and I didn't have to deal with it. Seeing it slowly lose and go away, and it made me sad. And my two friends, John and Thomas, were like, well, we're going to take care of this right now. And so John was like, I have tremors. And I'm like, tell me they haven't been used on man parts, please.
Ew.
I was just scared. I was like, I don't want.
What? You don't want what?
I like tremors that are just used on heads, I guess. It's like the proper.
Who's were you more afraid of? Those tremors touching the balls of
no any balls, no balls, no balls. So they shaved my head. We ordered a pizza and drank a bunch of Stella, and they shaved my head, and it was a liberating experience.
Well, and you posted pictures to Facebook while you were doing it.
Yes.
So
and so it was like three drunk people with tremors, and then after they trimmed it, they took a razor to my head to get it like nice and clean. And I didn't even think about it later about how much we'd had to drink. And then it started kind of making me think, thank God I didn't get any nicks or cuts or serious, serious injuries.
Did it serve its purpose for you?
Oh, it did. It was amazing. It was a good experience. And I was surrounded by people who love me. And it was funny. We only had one razor. Towards the halfway through, it went dull. So we all jumped on bicycles and rode to 7-Eleven in West Glenwood and bought a new Bic to go back and finish the job.
Jesus.
I mean, I could only imagine what people thought when I pulled up on a bicycle at 7-Eleven half shaven.
That's funny.
But it was a great experience. It made me feel loved, and I think it was much less traumatic. More, I don't know, gave me a sense of independence. Like, I took matters into my own hands and made me feel stronger about it.
Once they figured out that the treatment was goofy, like, how did they get you back on track?
Well, that was hard. They had to balance all of them. They slowly had to change the injections. They couldn't just jump right back into the old trials that they had been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just balancing it out. And
how long did it take?
It took, gosh, months. A good 6 months.
Man.
And during that time, I also had a trip to Boston for a month.
Mm-hmm.
For clinical trials there at Boston University, there on their medical campus. And so I've had a lot of medical trips, but it's been great because I've had the opportunity to see the country, and I have friends who live in New Hampshire, and I stayed with them and just rode the bus in to Boston when I needed to.
Right. I want to address something before we get closer to the present as far as the treatment and stuff like that, where you're at, as far as like the reaction. Like, I feel like when I saw those pictures, I was like, I understood what was going on. You know, it was more of a, you know, I'm going to do this instead of it happening to me, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I know that there was a lot of positive reaction to it, but like, we've talked over the year about like, people think that you're faking it.
Right.
Can you break that down a little bit? Because I feel like, well, first of all, it really pisses me off that, I mean, I understand that there's people out there that do shit like that to scam people out of money or whatever, but like, you've never, you won't even let me have like a live podcast, you know, where the proceeds go to your wallet.
No,
like, you don't take
way.
Anything from anybody.
I felt guilty about you paying for dinner tonight.
Well, you should. It was a ridiculous amount of money. And, just kidding. No, but like, you've never asked for anything. You've never taken anything from anybody. Like, why do you think, or what negative reaction have you had from people that are supposed to be your friends that you were like, what the fuck? Like, because that's how I'm sitting here going, like, why would anybody think that?
I don't quite understand it. I don't know if it's just like kind of a people hating on me about it, but I've stayed positive through all of it. Part of it, a lot of people didn't understand why I was writing my Dear Cancer letters. And I know that every month when I write a Dear Cancer letter, I have people delete me off of Facebook when I write one. And so once a month, I'll lose like three or four people. And the first few times it upset me. And then I asked someone about it, and they said that they felt that I was just seeking attention.
Right.
And that's when I had to start explaining to people that it's not me just writing these letters. I'm part of a counseling group at the hospital, and we each write one of these letters, and we empower each other through them. Everyone who's in the program sees each other's letters, and it makes us stronger to get through the trials we have to go through. It's not me putting it out there for all of my friends. It's for me and the people who are going through this. And I've had other people say, well, if that's the issue, why don't you just make a private page for you and the people in the
program?
Fuck
you. I hate people that do that to other people, because I've heard that about baby pictures.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that about, I guess, sickness stuff. Or, like, this is the one, the only thing I won't tolerate is just somebody going on Facebook and just talking shit and then naming them at the end.
Right.
I don't need you, you know. We thank you for, you know, being around for a minute. You probably didn't help me anyway, unfriend. But, like, it blows me away what people's internet tolerance is. Right. You know?
Well, and I'm not someone that has a smartphone. So I only get on Facebook once a day. And it amazes me how people's lives are consumed with it.
Guilty. And
people get so angry with me when I don't reply to something. I'm like, oh, I only get on there like at midnight when I'm going to bed and check it out.
The reason I asked you to dinner and the podcast was because of our lack of liking my posts.
You came here to corner me and give me shit?
Yes. Had it. Been supportive. I like your cancer letters. I like your playing with kids. What about me? I'm trying over here.
It's been hard because you want people to support you, and it makes me feel supported and loved when people do like things, and that is my only way of having communication with the outside world while I'm stuck in a hospital for a week is my laptop. And so when I see people reaching out and liking something, it makes me feel more prone to, like, really
do it.
Fight on and have that motivation. But when I'm seeing people delete me because they think I'm attention whore over here, and that's not why I do it. It's so not why I do it. And then I have other people who send me messages saying, you're an amazing person and thank you for posting this because it's really helped me to continue on in my battle.
Before we talk about that positive spin on it, like, you don't have to go there if you don't want to, but, like, what's the most, like, shockingly hurtful thing that's happened to you just online? I mean, I know that there might have been something between a friend, like, personally, that you were like, what the, like, and the only reason I'm asking you is because I think people need a perspective on how awful people are sometimes, you know, like, and it's mind-boggling to me, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've just had a few private messages that have kind of lashed out towards me about, you know, we didn't ask about it. Why are you posting about it? But nothing specific. Most of the time, people just delete me. I receive more things in actual public, like with friends. I've lost a lot of friends in the past year. Because of it, I had a really solid group of friends who are no longer in my life. And you would think when they see you go through the worst time of your life and witness you lose your hair and all that stuff, that they would, like, see the strength behind you and want to help lift you up through those tough times. But to see so many people just leave was devastating towards me. And I shut down for months and just kind of stuck towards home and didn't want to open up to people.
And that's what I think blows me away about you, because, I mean, initially, like, super positive, super bubbly. And I was around a little bit. Like, I haven't been around enough, and we've talked about that privately, you know. But I was around a little bit during those times where you were starting to shut down. And it was one of the worst things I've seen, you know, because, like, for somebody that just is plowing through to get better, and not only that, like, inspiring others, even, you know, because it is a perspective thing, and it is like a you're a badass, you know, and other people need to know that. But to, you know, I sat through a couple of those, you know, hey, we need can we meet? I need to tell you this story, and we're not gonna, you know, burn those people down, even though I want to, shitheads. I mean, it's amazing how awful people are, and it really upset me that they got to you to the level where you were like, you know what, I think I'm just gonna not really do anything anymore. Like,
oh, I stopped going out. I even hesitated going to the grocery store and simple things like that because I just didn't want to see those faces and be reminded of how unloyal friends can be when you're going through some of the hardest things that you've ever had to face in your life.
Not only unloyal, but like supremely selfish. I'm so glad I'll pull it up, but there's one that you had to deal with that, Rob and I started talking about it, and Rob completely burned him to the ground, but I'm sure he never heard it, and I'm not going to say who it is right now, but
I know.
I told you this. Remember?
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, it's fucking great.
And it's sad because that was someone that I did put so much of my heart into that friendship. And I'm the type of person, though, I don't have walls. And I will, once you're my friend, I give all my all. And I am there for you as much as you need me. And I don't ask for stuff in return. But it's so devastating to me when friends turn on me when I give them so much of myself.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because I was gone from the valley for 9 years. And
no, those people are just shitty.
These people have these cliques, and it's like, it's their wolf pack, and don't come into their wolf pack and expect anything.
Nah, fuck that. Okay, so now, let's say, you were in September.
Right.
So now what's going on? September 2013, right?
Right.
Okay.
So now... Okay, so that was I got back from Boston, and I continued on my treatments. And we kept having progress reports that I was getting close to the end, and then something would come up. And I've had a few scares. There was one scare back in the fall with my bladder. They had found traces in my groinal lymph nodes and tested it and went in and checked it out, and they treated the area that they had found. And then I continued on my path fighting cervical cancer. And I thought I was getting to the point of being done. And back before the first of the year, they had hoped that January would be the date. And I went in January, and they still were thinking a couple more months. Well, I went in February, and they did all my tests in hopes that that was my last appointment to Denver in 4.5 years of treatments. And they took all extensive testing and did scans, and I spent days in the hospital over tests. And they came back, and my doctor called me. He had me on speakerphone with his wife and kids. That's something I didn't share with you. Because it has been a journey, not just with me and him in the hospital, but his wife and kids have been by my side. I love children, and it's always touched her heart how much I do at Children's Hospital. And my trips to New York and Boston, she came and spent time with me with her daughters.
Okay.
And so I've created a really great friendship with his family. So it's not just a patient he's been treating, it's a friend.
What's his name? Sounds like a good guy.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Seriously.
Out of right
if, I, some, if I get cervical cancer, I want to call him. You know?
He's out of Northwestern of Chicago.
Okay.
But he had me on speakerphone with his wife and kids to give me good news, which was that for the first time in 4.5 years, there's not a single bit of cancer showing on my cervix, and I'm
yeah.
and I'm fully fertile. I could have children. So they did all these things.
You said that. You said that phrase earlier.
Still have babies.
Babies. You said that phrase earlier, and I was like, ugh.
Fully fertile. I am fertile.
Good. All right.
And then he took me off speakerphone to give me bad news, which made me, like, so mad. Like, why couldn't you give me bad news before the good news? And that was that.
Well, there, aren't you supposed to ask?
Yeah. How about that? Do you want the good news or bad news?
Right. First? Okay. Yeah, Doc messed up on that one.
Yeah, I totally messed up. He was so excited. Threw me on the phone with the family.
Yeah, that's a little weird. You're like, Doc, ask me.
And then the bad news was that he saw three spots in the scans on my bladder that looked like they were a decent size. And the terminology he used, which drove me crazy because doctors love saying this all the time, was that it could possibly be a can of worms. And I don't know why doctors use the can of worms terminology thing, but it just gives you a horrible mental picture. Like, I don't want a can of worms. Is it the springy worms that are like the funny worms that are gonna make me laugh? I don't know.
I wasn't even thinking about that. But what does that mean? Like, he's like, look, this is a long discussion. It's 8 o'clock at night. I don't really want to get into it. It's just gonna be I see a spot on your bladder. It's going to be a bear of a time to figure out.
That's kind of probably a bear of a time. It would be a better term.
A whale of a dumb thing to say. But what did he mean? Like, was it just?
He meant that he wasn't sure what he was getting into until we actually got into the bladder. So it could be worse, or it could be exactly as it seemed.
Right.
So he went in this past treatment, and did a full pap smear and everything, and found that my cervix still looks phenomenal.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, darling. Gorgeous.
That of a 20-year-old, right?
Yes. You have a cervix of a 20-year-old.
You should use it as your profile picture on Facebook.
I think I would be deleted for that. Just a few friends on that one.
I disagree. I think you should have a fan page.
With my cervix.
I'd be on it. Whatever.
And so they went in. It's through a type of catheter. They scope it. And once he got in there, he did see the three spots he saw on the scans. And he also saw a fourth spot. So he carved them out. It's like this little loop thingy that scoops and cauterizes. So he cut them out. And he also took care of the fourth spot that he found. And then he treated the areas. And he also did the next day a colonoscopy to make sure everything was okay. That was a really creepy.
I don't have a sexy. Mine's like. It's
fucking terrible. Or colonoscopy, that's like the worst thing to give a sexy.
It's a kind of not an inside joke, but I'll explain it later.
I'm disturbed.
You should be. It's terrible. No, that's the worst thing ever. Like, I feel like I'm too young to have had the finger in the butt, but I've had it, and it's humiliating and terrible. And that's only part of what you had to do.
Yeah, so. It was awful. So,
which is weird because I was there for a sore throat, but stupid. Sorry,
dirty guy. So they removed 5 polyps when they did the colonoscopy. And tested them, and this past Monday, they called to let me know that there were no signs of cancer in what they removed out of the colon, so that was fine. When cancer spreads, cervical cancer spreads, it typically spreads into 2 areas, and that is rectal and bladder. So they were able to isolate that it's just in the bladder area that they're fighting. And my doctor feels like it's its last-ditch effort. It's just trying to grab on somewhere. It's been eradicated from one area, and it cancer has its own fighting instinct to survive.
Right.
So we just have to wait. My next appointment coming up on, like, the 16th, I think. I go in, and they're going to go back in with a scope and biopsy the areas that he took out and checked to see if it was a successful procedure. And I'm just hoping, I am ready for this to be done. I'm ready for a life cancer-free.
Yeah. And it's going to be good too. Cause like we talked about it. Jesus. We talked about it earlier about, the opportunities that you have, and like you get to start all over. Like, it's a little scary and weird, but we also talked about there's plenty of people we know that probably would like a shot to start over again, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. I'm super happy about that.
Well, I'm hoping for the best. And, you know, I have, I was talking to my sister one night about how it's hard because cancer has been my motivating thing over the past 4.5 years to live life to the fullest, to get me through daily life. Even though it's a terrible, horrible thing, it has made me who I am and has fueled my love of life. And part of me doesn't know what life is without cancer, which is kind of scary, but
right.
I'm excited. It's a exciting scary.
Hello, sir.
What are you doing?
Not much. I'm sitting here with a good friend of mine. Let's break down the wall a little bit. This is not a Facebook driven call. I asked Mr. Psychotic to join us. I want to ask you about a certain experience that you went through, what, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
A month ago?
You were up around my neck of the woods, Glenwood Springs, with a crew, apparently, of minions, and you were up here filming a commercial or something for a spa for their Watsu treatment, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, talkative, easy. Yes.
My phone goes ballistic. Of course, as soon as I call you, my phone starts going up.
Oh, but, sure.
I came up to help the Splendor Mountain Day Spa. And I was filming, it's not necessarily a commercial, it's more just footage of the different kinds of Watsu that they provide there.
Okay. The only reason I asked you to call, well, there's two things. Like, when you rang me up that day, you know, seeing if I was around, and I remember you were just kind of like, you were very fascinated with the procedure and like how they do it and all that kind of stuff. Oh, look at that.
It's really intense.
Can you tell us a little, like a little bit about what you saw and what you felt?
Well, yeah, it was something where, you know, they were telling me, cause I did some photographic work for them last summer, and they were telling me that they wanted me to come back at some point to film, and we had actually set it up last October, and then it fell apart. So when they asked me to come back up, I made it happen, went up there. And so I did my research. I don't ever like walking in anything blind. And so I looked on YouTube. I looked on Wikipedia. I did your basic, I'm going to look into all this and figure out. And so I kind of went into it feeling like I had a good grasp of what I was going to be witnessing. And it was kind of this, they call it water dancing because that is kind of what it looks like, where one person is drawing the other person through the water and moving them in different locations, kind of allowing their body to completely relax. And it almost looks like really gentle massage. That's really what it looks like. And so that was what I was expecting. When I went in and actually started filming, being that close and actually witnessing it, completely different experience. Because what I thought was going to be a fairly general, oh, cool, I'll watch them for 5 minutes or so while they pull through the water, is a lot more intense. Watching someone pulling somebody through the water and making it look like they're leading them in a dance, where they're, one girl almost fell asleep. The true, what they call their true Watsu, their true water dancing, she takes them underwater. And they're underwater for 35, 40 seconds at a time. And you just stay there, and they're so relaxed that they don't need to breathe. They don't fight for air. They don't feel like they're drowning. It was just really, really intense watching that.
That's awesome. I'm sure you might think this is weird that I, asked you for this subject matter, but I'm sitting here with Annie Zancanella, which was one of the girls that you filmed that day.
Oh, okay.
So we we were talking earlier about that experience, and like, I just wanted to hear hers against yours. Like, what I'm going to ask Annie now. Like, what was your whole thing like, and what was your experience with Mr. Smith here?
No, it was funny because we were at dinner and I was telling you about the video. I was like, and I think you know the guy that videoed it, and he was like, yeah, Eric, totally.
Anywhere, biblically.
Soon, my pet.
But for me, because we watched the little snippet you sent the other day at the spa to see if anything needed changed, and it looks so much different than it feels, because it felt like I was, I don't know, like outer worldly feeling of being pulled around the pool. And I've had it done before. Susan has given me watsus before, but that day was just incredible because the sun was coming through the windows and you just suddenly don't even feel like you're in a pool anymore. It feels like you're floating through air, and it's an incredible experience. So actually watching it, it looks so much different than the way it felt in my mind.
How did you feel about the way you looked in the video?
I looked fantastic. I was so worried. I was so worried because I was like, this is a promotional video for the spa, and I'm in my bikini, and this man is filming me. I'm going to have my big fat ass on YouTube soon. And then I saw it, and I was like, I look fantastic. My boobs look amazing.
Eric, comment on the tits.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
But thank you. Thank you. You made me look amazing. But I was telling TJ, I was like, he had minions. There were people that brought him coffee.
What's that about?
I want minions.
I brought one of my interns. If you haven't met yet, Derek Sorek, he works with me through Prophecy Records. And he's kind of me verbatim down here in Grand Junction, where if I can't be somewhere, he's my fill-in.
Okay.
He's learned a lot of this, the booking, the management, making sure he can. I mean, he just knows a little bit of everything, and it's just growing his knowledge base. It's really, really cool. And then Cindy Schmidt, who is a friend, it's a girl I met like the day after I moved down here. I met this girl at the Mesa, and we've just become like really incredible friends, like really close, really quick. And I don't drive. A lot of people don't know that I don't have a vehicle. I just don't drive. And so I was a little worried about getting there. And I had actually asked a couple friends like, oh yeah, we're going to go. We're going to take you. We want to go to Glenwood anyway. And then it was going to be like a full on, like we're going to try and get tattooed and all this other stuff going on. And then my tattoo artist retired, like literally the weekend before. So that changed everything up. And then also my friends were like, well, we won't go and get tattooed. And I was like, oh God. So she volunteered. She just happened to be here having dinner and was like, I will take you. And we will go get your drum set when we're done. And we'll do all that. And that's what we did. It was just, we planned this whole trip. So we could be gone all day. And it was great. There's a couple shops up there that I always try and buy camera supplies from rather than going to the big chain stores. So we went early. We got the camera stuff done. We filmed. That was really intense. And I actually went a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be there for about 2.5-3 hours. And I was only there for a couple hours.
Right on, man.
So it was very cool.
I have 3 rapid-fire questions for you. First of all... oh shit! I forgot the third one. Damn it! I maybe have 2 rapid fire. Fuck! I'm an idiot. Is there Watsu porn? He said he did research. I wanted
not that I found.
All right.
There were a couple of videos where they were definitely the people in the water were nude.
Okay.
But I don't think it was a pornographic in nature. No.
Okay. Oh shit.
Can you only think of one now?
No, that was one. I have the other one. I had like a third one, and I was going to type it out.
I was worried you forgot the other two as
fuck.
Well.
Fuck. Think. Well,
fuck it. Take notes, sir.
Shut up.
last time I was here, you had a legal pad. This was more professional. I'm kidding.
I have the notepad app on the computer up, sir. And I even put notes for you. Shut up. Fuck. What? Oh, man. That really bums me out. Anyway, here's the other one. Would you allow me to Watsu you?
Hell no.
Fair enough. Buddy, I appreciate you calling us up.
Nobody.
What do you mean?
I would not let anybody do that.
You
I would never. I can't
shit.
Let. I can't go through that. There's no. Dude, I don't let anybody massage me, much less. Nah, I don't do that.
I don't.
I don't like to be touched.
That's not so true.
That's a little bit weird for me.
We know this. We.
That's sad. You don't like to be touched?
Cuddle puddles are different, CJ.
That's sad. This is like there's some traumatic.
Yeah. No, I don't. I've never. No, we've discussed this. There is literally zero reason for me to be as fucked up as I am. But I am a messed up person, and I just am. There's no backstory. There's no, I was traumatized as a child, and he must have, no, I'm just weird.
You apparently came off as very conservative and professional to Ms. Zancanelli here, and we appreciate that. So
I'm capable. I just, it's rare.
I'm going to call you back if I remember the third one, but I know it's not as good as the...
Well, thank you so much for making me look fantastic.
Oh. Fuck. Thank you. High five.
Was,
where are the fucking stills?
Oh, I just didn't send them yet. I just sent that preliminarily just to make sure it was what everybody wanted, and I got a couple little changes I got to make with a little bit of color correction.
Dropbox.com/ go from there.
Don't make me like not let you see the stills from what I shot last night over just a publication.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
I know I do get a tiny, tiny bit of inside info from this guy, and it's never disappointed yet, so all right, buddy. I appreciate your comments.
I can't help it, man. I have really, really, really hot friends. So you go do your the rest of your interview, and I'm gonna go back to work now.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. I'll talk with you soon. Okay.
All right. See you soon.
All right, man. Fucking love that guy.
He's so professional.
He's on top of his game. There's nothing about that.
No, he was. It was a great shot. Like. I didn't feel like, I mean, when I climbed into the pool, it felt crowded because there was him and his minions and the other people that were going to be shooting. Ruth did the water dance and Rebecca did the prenatal Watsu. So it felt like a crowded room. But once I was in that pool and she was massaging me, I was like about ready to fall asleep. I was relaxed. I didn't feel like there was a whole film crew floating over the pool filming me. I was just in the zone of being happy and at peace getting massaged.
And apparently you looked amazing, so it's very cool.
I was so worried. I was like, oh, great. This is going to be on the internet. I hope I don't look like a little fat girl floating around in the pool. But I looked fantastic. I've been trying. It's hard with all the hormones they inject me during these treatments. But I go to the gym. I cleanse. I do all this stuff that I've tried to take care of myself on multiple levels during treatments.
Right on. We've already done like 45. I think we hit it. Are we missing anything?
Check your notes.
What do you mean? Oh. Oh. All right. Let's end with the Amish story.
I love that we always end with dating horror stories.
Well, I forgot about the Amish thing before I called Eric.
It's not Amish. They were Mormon.
Why did I think it was Amish?
I don't know.
That's just the same difference. Whatever. Is that racist? I don't think it is. They're white. It's not racist.
I don't know.
So what happened?
What happened?
Where was this again? Was this in Denver where this whole thing happened?
No, it happened here in Glenwood.
Okay.
So
it's been a while since I've heard the story. Sorry.
So I am still a single woman. I still have my dating horror stories and I have yet to find someone to date. Let alone have a relationship with. But it was about this time last year. It was one of my last internet blind dates that I've been on.
From Match or
yeah.
What? Oh, okay.
So The story I told last time about Jules, who used to be Julie, that guy.
Yes.
Guy, girl, Shem. Yes. So.
They don't like that word, by the
sorry.
Way.
Sorry. That's what he called himself.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, fuck him then. Fuck Shem.
So. Stupid. So that was the last date I went on when I deleted my Match.com account. And before that, I had been talking to this gentleman who lives out of St. George, Utah. And I told him I was deleting my account. And he asked for my email address so we could still write to each other. So we stayed in touch for quite a long time. And it was never, like, there was never anything sexual or anything. It was always just like, hey, how you doing? How was your day? Cordial. It was cordial.
Sure.
Well, one day I get this message from him saying that him and a couple of his friends were coming through town on their way to do some mountain climbing. And he wanted to know if I would get together to have dinner. And I told him I'd love to, just to get to meet him and chat. So we met up downtown, and I walked into the restaurant, and it was not only him, but three other guys sitting at the table. And at this point, I did not know what religion he was or anything. It's something I've never, like, brought up.
Sure.
And there were three other guys. And I thought, oh, well, he brought his friends that he's traveling through town. A little weird, but okay. And sat down. And one of the first things he asked me was if I was willing to convert. And
right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Sure.
Like, one of the first, I'm like, hi, I'm Annie. Like, shook hands. And I was like, excuse me? Like, I'm already kind of an odd duck of, like, what I practice that I was like, this is just strange little girl being asked these questions about changing my religion. And then
all right, what's next? What else you got?
Then he explained that him and these three other men own a property in Utah, and each of them have a different corner of it that their families live on. Families as in being wives.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, they have a large house where the wives teach the kids and...
Polygamous compound is what we're talking about.
Yes. That's yes. A compound.
Yes.
And he thought I'd be a perfect candidate for his fifth wife.
Sure. How'd you feel about that? Was that a blow to the ego? Like five, really? Or were you more mortified at the whole idea?
Well, I was kind of taken back because my grandmother... kept joking with me before the date. And she's like, he's probably going to ask you to be one of his many wives. And I'm like, Grandma, just shush.
You knew he was Mormon?
I didn't, but she thought he was.
Why?
Utah.
Wow. Look at the big brain on Grandma. Nice pull.
Oh, that's funny, actually. I don't know if your viewers know, my grandmother's 101 years old. So this is...
I don't have viewers, first of all.
I'm sorry, listeners.
The three people that know who you are. No,
listeners.
I'm kidding. Yeah, Grandma is intense. She's 101. She has one eye with no help going on. There's a fucking socket in the other one. It's intense. It's like when you're sitting there, like you get used to it. But at first, it's like, whoa, shit.
Right? But she wears glasses, so you just kind of, like, your head tells yourself that there's...
I've never run into her when she was wearing glasses.
Oh, because, like, you're at the eye doctor.
Well, and even the time I came to see her, she wasn't wearing them. So, yeah. I'm just saying, I got the full shot.
The whoa.
Does she ever put anything in there?
No.
Like her weed stash or
like
anything?
Like, what would you put in there?
Her weed stash, I don't know.
But doesn't smoke weed.
Oh, yeah, she's a heroin guy, I forgot.
But...
How funny that she picked up on that, though.
Oh,
Utah.
Yeah. And I was like, Grandma, just... Because she's always joking about my dates. Because she knows nothing has been successful since I've been diagnosed. She just kind of laughs and jokes with me and gives me hell. And so when he said, you're my fifth wife, I was like, oh, Grandma is right.
Son of a bitch.
damn it. Why does she have to always be right? Why? And then he explained why, what one of my top qualities was of why I was top in line for being another candidate was that I had a nice short name. And all the other girls had short names, like Sarah, Allie. Like, they were all, like, short. And he thought Annie would just fit right into this.
Creep.
It was just so weird. And the other guys were there because they wanted to, like, talk to me and tell me their side of what
now
it was
this,
like
this
there.
Was an intake process. This was not like a, you know, buddies hanging out. Like, if you were at all receptive... These are the guys that are carrying you to the van.
I was a little scared. And that's what, and they talked about me coming down. If I had come down for a week and meet the other wives and kind of get a sense of what it was like there. And if I'd want to really be a part of it.
Well, now you and Allie are like super close now after that visit, right?
Dear God, no. So I just kind of listened and smiled. And I was at a restaurant that I know the owner of, and he just kind of kept looking over like, what is going on? Like, are you okay? How's your dinner going? But they were kind of intense, and they explained that they had just gotten back from a climbing trip overseas, and they had been gone a month. And that's what they do. This man and his three friends would go off and travel the world, mountain climbing, hiking. They had done all these big major hikes. They'd go, you know, Rio and all these amazing places for big extravagant festivals. And while the wives stayed at home and took care of the kids and kept house. So I was just like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. You know, because I'm a nice person, TJ.
I know.
I like let him talk. I spent an hour, enjoyed.
That's crazy to me. Like, I remember when you first told me this story. I'm like, you fucking hung out the whole time?
Yes.
You were there till the check hit the table?
Yes.
Crazy.
Because I always feel, and that was the same with Jules. Like, I give them at least an hour of my time to show respect for everyone has a life. Everyone has a story. Everyone goes through trials and tribulations. But I just. It was so interesting. And I got home and grandma was like, how was it? And I was like, you were right. You were right. And then she was like,
she goes,
yeah.
Drags off her cigarette.
And she's like, well, you better hope that they don't haul you off down there. And I'm like looking out the window like, no, I don't see any cars out there.
That's crazy.
But that was, yeah. He still sends me emails every now and then saying hi, but just don't reply anymore.
Yeah, it's probably for the better.
So I'm still looking. One day my horror story won't be a horror story and I'll be like, I met someone and they're amazing and nice and they don't want me to come off to their compound and be a fifth wife or help them take care of their operation procedures.
Oh, no. So funny. Oh, Jesus. Excuse me. Filling dinner. Annie has a Facebook page that you guys should check out that is kind of based around her journey and the illness and stuff like that. It's facebook.com/ Annie's Wishing Tree. Yeah?
Yep.
Go check it out. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of inspirational posts, a lot of long writings from you. And then it's an actual tree where people go and hang wishes for you. And apparently that's been doing reasonably well.
It's been doing great. It's on the pathway up to Doc Holliday's grave. And if you're walking on the trail, it'll be on the left-hand side on your way up. You'll see a tree that overhangs the trail, and it's full of ribbons. There's well over 1,000 ribbons now. It's amazing. I went up there a few weeks back with my friend Spencer, and it was so cool to see all the stuff that people have left, because a lot of the stuff I've put up there has been from Children's Hospital, the work I've done there,
mm-hmm.
and my own wishes and dreams for the future. And Spencer and I went and visited, and there were people had left poems. Someone had made a really cool driftwood mobile and put up there.
That's cool.
There was like all sorts of stuff, and it made me so happy to see that people were enjoying it as much as I do. I mean, it's my own little chunk of therapy here in Glenwood, and I'm glad that I can share it with others.
Sure.
So definitely go visit, enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're just on Facebook and not local, just leave a message. Be like, hey, I heard that. You know, nice. And as soon as we get the Watsu stills and videos, we'll have those up on the page too.
It's awesome. Everyone needs a Watsu.
I want to go.
Oh, it's so relaxing. I do.
Want Eric to do it to me.
Fall asleep in the pool. They put floaties on your legs so you're not like.
I know. I know. I'm kidding with you.
I would love to, if I could take a video of Eric giving you a Watsu.
Ugh.
That would be priceless.
Yeah.
People would pay not to watch it.
Exactly. You're amazing. I love you. Thank you for doing it again.
Love you too.
And yeah, that's it. Bye, people.
Bye. Open doors, so I'll walk inside. Close my eyes, find my place to